died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. In the year that pride died, in the year that King Pride died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. I saw the real balance of powers. And the train of his robe filled the temple. I wish I could help you get a picture of that, so I'll try. The train of his robe filled the temple. If you've ever been to a wedding, not so much nowadays, but if you've ever been to one of those weddings from a few years back, or if you've ever seen a royal wedding, maybe that's what I should say. If you've ever seen a royal wedding, the bride has a very long train. So, I mean, it's hard for me to, I don't ever wear dresses, so this will make no mistake. But if I had on a wedding dress, you know the train of the robe, it's just the extension of the robe. And it, in a royal setting, it goes a long way. And this is talking about a royal setting. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. The train of his robe filled the temple. So just imagine if the Lord were here seated on his throne, and the train of his robe, he's seated. Have you ever seen a wedding where one of the bridesmaids comes behind the bride as they turn? You know, they only move a couple times in the service. Maybe they move to face the groom, or they move and somebody comes behind them and does that to their dress. And he's seated on the throne, and the train of his robe fills the temple. Oh, it's so significant. Above him stood seraphim. Each one had six wings, and with two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." So I'm wanting to set this scene for you. When the Bible was written, and it was interpreted and translated, for emphasis sake, see, things like exclamations, points, and stuff like that, we add those. But so you would understand the magnitude or the inflection of a word, like in the New Testament, where it says, "Lord, didn't we cry out in your name?" We said, "Lord, Lord, didn't we cry out in your name?" That's actually trying to tell you the emphasis of the word Lord, so it states it twice. So it wouldn't just be, "Lord, Lord, we cried out in your name." "Lord, we cried out in your name." Do you understand what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Three times. This is the only time in the Bible where you see it three times. They're saying, "Holy," this is what the angels are crying. They're crying, and I'm going to prove it to you. "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." So they're saying the word three times, "Holy, holy, holy," so that you understand. I would hurt your ears if I yelled it the way that they're saying it. "Holy!" This is happening all the time. That's when we say that the Lord is holy. We're falling into the praise that's already around his throne all the time. This is the proof of it all. "And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out." Have you ever felt a certain note whenever you were talking, or a certain hum make a vibration, and you feel that one? You can find it. There's certain places that you can find. Well, the noise that they were making shook the doorpost of heaven. The doorpost is it's like the jam of the door. It's like the strength of the door. It's like the strongest place. So the place that held the most support was shaking under that holy. The posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone. That means unclean. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I'm telling you, when you really get in his presence, you'll see him for who he is, and you'll see you for who you are. And it may not be as pretty a thought as you thought it was. You might think so. No, you might not think so much of yourself when you get in his presence. And that's not a trick. That's just the facts. Something as pure as God and something as dirty as me. And that's what Isaiah saw. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell amongst a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people. That's all I'm going to read of that. Do you see a change that's taking place though? Someone who's been really dirty and their sins exposed before God. And they've admitted, I'm a man of unclean lips. And just like that, God takes care of it. And the question is stated, who will go for us? Who will be a representation? Do you understand what your job is on this earth? That you were, according to Ephesians chapter 1, you were created for his glory. You are to be a representation of him, not of you. Who will go for us? Isaiah said, send me. And he sent him. Let me get back to this point. That doesn't make any sense to us. The thing about the kings, we don't know. We're trying to figure out kingdom. We live in the United States, good old USA. I love the USA. But the United States of America is not a kingdom, it's a democracy. That's why it's hard for some churches to get anywhere, because they take everything before a committee. And you can get 18 yeses, but you get one no, and everything gets jammed up real quick. Instead of listening and believing that someone's hearing from the Lord. So here they are, or here we are in a democracy. So we think, you know, everything needs to be voted on. I think things need to be heard and then done.
Thank you, Jesus.
That sounds like kingdom to me. And in the kingdom, there's a king. So everybody else is under the king. All you do is wear your robe. All you do is play your part in the kingdom. All I'm doing right now is playing my part in the kingdom. I'm under the king. If there's any question, I ain't him. I'm listening to him. And what I do will reflect if I heard him or if I heard my own little whisper. So here's the scenario. They understood. They're not like us. We understand democracy. They understood kingdom. They saw kingdoms rise. They saw kingdoms fall. They understood a kingdom was defined by territory. And the kingdom was also defined by victories. Now, I'm 52. I know I just probably shocked y'all and gave you a more revelation you felt all day. You're thinking 35 at best. Okay, I'll be more serious. It's my first grandson. He gets my attention. I'll preach near him. Here's the thing. They understood kingdom. They got it. So I gave my age away, being 52, because there was a time when I was a kid, the way you settled stuff was you turn your hat around backwards. And it usually was a little dance. Y'all started leaning in like two rams, shoulder to shoulder. But we didn't headbutt, because that would hurt. But it actually started when somebody talked about mom. And when they talked about mama, that hat came on, the swinging went to go. It was wild. Here's the thing about the end result of that. We didn't pull out guns and shoot each other. Somebody walked away with a bloody nose. But here's the crazy thing. Whoever won the fight won the argument. That's how it was. That's how I grew up. If you won the fight, you won the argument. So in a kingdom setting, I get that. That actually allowed whoever won the fight to set up his little domain, until the next big guy came by and knocked him off. Notice this order of progression. Me and Brent got into it, and of course I won. But I'm strutting around, and Logan ain't gonna have none of it. So I'm walking around in my little kingdom, and Logan thinks he can knock me off, and me and Logan fight it out. Well, of course Logan lost. This is my story. I'm not gonna lose. Come on. But what did that mean to everybody else? Say the guy, let me get Anthony in on this. This is my twin brother right here. But one day I bumped into Anthony. Anthony knocked my kingdom over. But what did he capture in my kingdom? Logan and Brent. With this mindset, if I took him out, I'll take him. He's not ever going to try, because he beat him and he beat him, so I can beat all them.
That's right.
Do y'all follow that?
Yes.
Go back to the scripture. The train, God Almighty, the train of his robe filled the temple. I said they understood kingdom. This is how the train of the robe, of his robe, fills the temple. In those days, when a kingdom came up against a kingdom, it wasn't like our wars. In a democracy, we'll vote on a war, but the people that vote on the war will stay at home and send other people to fight the war.
That's right.
Not being political, I'm being factual. But David, when David, King David, in a kingdom, see, the kingdom, in a kingdom, the king, when he believed in a war, he would lead the war. In other words, if we're going to fight, I might die. But y'all need to know, as the king, I believe in it so much that I'm going to lead it. They took this stuff so seriously because it meant so much. And there was none of this barking. It was on. Somebody done talked about mama, and it was on. And we were going to have a winner. And this is what Isaiah said. I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he went right to the train, because the train was the proof. The train of his robe filled the temple. This is why it's so significant. This is why we're not there yet. I like the ooh and the on, but we're not there yet. It's going to get better, because y'all going to get that glue. Y'all going to rip some pants this morning. That sounds terrible. If you sat in glue, like I said earlier. I shouldn't even said it. Just forget it. All right, come back. Here's how it went. The train of his robe filled the temple. In those days, when a kingdom went against a kingdom, they would do their best not to kill the other king. As they were securing victory, they would capture the king and keep him alive for a little while. because something was going to happen to him. They were going to bring him forth in front of the whole kingdom. So everybody that stayed at home, everybody who fought the battle, everybody who was there saw the transition of power. They saw how the kingdom grew in one day. And this is how they did it. They'd bring the king in, and he would do a walk of shame, and he would be wearing his robe. And in his robe was every victory that he had ever won. And if he was a first king, first time king, it was just his glorious robe. But this is what they would do to shame him. They would bring him in front of everybody. And before they killed him, they would take his robe and they would cut part of his robe off. And they would sew it to the seated king's robe. You know what I said a minute ago about this fight? This fight, this fight, this fight. He knows he won because he knows he can beat them because he beat me. He doesn't have to fight them. They know that he can beat. They know. Everybody knows. So here's the thing about the train of his robe that fills the temple. This is what I saw. Isaiah saw. He said, I saw everything. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. So anything that would look like a battle for me, it's already cut and attached to his robe. The train of his robe fills the temple. So my victory is in his robe. I don't care what I face, my victory is in his robe. So where do I line up with him? Why would I be afraid when he says don't be afraid? How can he say that? Because every victory is already in his train.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what I face, it's going to be victorious. Yeah. So I told you, David, he learned to run toward Goliath. You understand? They say that if David would have missed, he would have actually fallen into Goliath's arms. He was that confident in running that hard towards Goliath when he hit him with that stone. But let me tell you this. That was a public victory. Thousands of people saw that victory that day with David. If David were alive today, they wouldn't teach David the way that we teach him. I'll show my age. I learned about David on the flannel graph. That even word is hard to spit out. Man, that's so, because most of you have no idea what I'm talking about. It was this on an easel, this piece of cardboard with a piece of flannel over it. And it had these kind of sticky little paper figurines, and it put David on there. And I remember Goliath being so big and David being so little. David was a mess. You know the story of David was a mess. But we tell the great part of David facing Goliath because we like that public victory. It feels good to feel like I'm going to get to be Goliath. And I'm going to get to be David one day. And everybody's going to see it. But I can tell you the reason that David was able to celebrate a victory publicly. He listed his credentials right before he killed Goliath. He said, privately, I've killed the lion. Privately, I've killed the bear. David was completely qualified. The only one who was qualified. God will qualify you quietly, privately,
yes,
and then publicly. He's able to use you. Will you stand to your feet right now? Praise you, Jesus. The train of his robe that filled that temple fills this temple. You know where the temple of the Holy Spirit is at right now? It's inside of you.
Yes.
And you've got to understand, if Christ lives inside of me, if Jesus Christ and his anointing is alive inside of me, why do I fear? Why am I afraid? Why am I afraid? Will you just look at your neighbor and say, the scripture said, don't be afraid. at him and say, I know that wasn't you shaking. I know that wasn't you shaking. So I think the question is still before us. I think the question is still, who will go for us? Can you say me? I will go. I am so ready for church to stop being 11 to 1 on Sundays or 10 to 12. Jesus wasn't down with that. He only said church, I think, one time, and it's only in the New Testament twice. But he did talk about the kingdom being inside of us and him living inside of us. And while we understand church so much, we need to start understanding kingdom is something that goes on all the time. Yeah. Territory all the time. Yes. Christ lives inside of me. Wherever I go, that atmosphere should change. Unless it's an atmosphere of agreement, then it should really just increase when we get together. It should just increase. Can you say, I'm not alone? Could you say, because your spirit lives inside me? Can you say, that's my victory? My victory. That's my victory. It's my victory. I'm going to walk in victory. Can you just start proclaiming things over yourself? I'm going to walk in victory. I'm going to walk in victory. The battle is over. I'm going to walk in victory. I'm not going to be afraid. I don't have to. I'm not going to walk in fear. I'm going to walk in faith. I'm going to see my Lord face to face. I'm going to go from glory to glory. Like his word says, I'm going to go from glory to glory. So I know that according to his word, if I'm going to go from glory to glory, then I'm going to go from this glory, and then some stuff is going to come that's going to help me differentiate between what's glory and what's not glory. And then I'm going to walk to glory again. And then some more stuff is going to come and happen that I don't like because it's not full of glory, but it's going to push me to go on towards glory because I'm going to go from glory to glory. So the things that are not glorious in your life are for you to differentiate, to know the difference between the two, what's glory and what's not glory. But you have a seat at the table of the Lord. In the presence of the enemies, he has prepared a table before me. I always have a seat at the table of God. Look forward to what's next in your life.
Amen.
We lost Kenzie in December, and I've told my wife, plan anything, I don't care, we'll go. Because I can't hardly sit at home and look at these walls. I can't hardly see some things that I see. I love my home. I love my memories. But there's some of it that just caves in. I've got to see next. And I've got to move towards that. I've got to let my mind be stimulated into some things. I'm willing to do whatever it takes for me to get from glory to glory. And it's a daily occurrence for me. It's a daily occurrence for us to do that. If I can do that, you can do whatever you're having to do to get to your next day. And God will be there for you. If we're going to walk in paths of righteousness, I've got to say this. The path that I'm walking in is going to be an extraordinary path.
Yes.
That's what you've got to realize. Whatever path, you don't walk in my path. We walk in paths of righteousness, though. And your path has just as much significance as my path has. If you seize the path and say, I will walk this thing out. I will see the Lord. I will see his face. I will see him high and lifted up. I will go from glory to glory. Is this helping anybody?
I was just going to share with you, I'm a very visual person, and as you're speaking, I know what I need to do this week. And that is when the enemy comes to taunt, because he loves to do that. And he loves to point at the lack of your train, the lack of your victories. And guess what? That's not where my hope lies, not in my victories. So this week, when the enemy comes and tries to taunt me, even about death, I can say, you know what? That's in the train. And he lives inside of me, and everything that has come against me has been defeated by the King already. He's cut it off. Death, hell, the grave, fear, anxiety. He's cut it off the train of the enemy. It's attached to his, and he's already paid the price for it. So we can live in victory. When you face something this week, see the train. Just see whatever that is visually on the train of God that fills up the temple of your heart. And just thank him for it, because the victory, you don't have to fight for it. He already won it. It's already attached to his train. And I know that's how I'm going to function this week. And I hope you will do that too, that you will trust God, that he is the King of your heart. He's got it all, and he's defeated, and he's conquered it all.
Praise God.
Can I share something?
Gave me a word to say, and I was disobedient. I didn't say it, so I want to share it now. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I know your end from the beginning, because I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Just trust me. Thank you.
Thank you. Man, you need to receive that word. That's so good. The only reason he can call himself the beginning and the end is for it to be true. The Holy Spirit is my guide. Has anybody in this room ever hired a guide for anything? Raise your hand if you've ever hired a guide for anything. Anthony, what'd you hire a guide for? For what? In Cuba. You need a guide in Cuba. What if you had gone to Cuba and the guide would have looked at you and said, have you got something on your phone to help me translate here? That guide would have been the guy that took your money. Right? Who else? Ken, what did you hire a guide for? For sales. Who's hired a guide for fishing? Whitewater rafting. So what if the guy takes you whitewater rafting and he puts you on a float for $6.96 he got at Walmart and says, good luck. What if you hire a guide for fishing and he opens up the tackle box and he says, I don't know, Bubba, what you think? But why do we question God, who says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, I know the beginning from the end, and he says, do this and don't do that, and he's a guide.
Yes.
Who am I following here, right? Does that make sense? Oh, thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for your presence. Lord, thank you that you just come in, and this is your will for us today, God. Thank you, God. Help us to see that you actually see us. You actually know us. And the words and the promise that you give us are actually from you. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to let you go in just a second, but I want you to see this. This. If I have to tell you what this is, then this is a mirror. You see yourself. Some of you may take longer in this than some of us. I'm not really trying to.
And some of us might look better.
Some of us.
Just kidding, y'all are gorgeous.
might take longer than, oh, you just cracked my mirror, man. Some of you. Some of us might need to take a little more time. Let me tell you about the mirror. There's a way that you see you. But there's a way that other people see you. And there's a way that God sees you. And he's looking for a reflection. And here's my question for you about how God sees you. My question isn't how God sees you, it's how do you think God sees you? Because there's a good chance it doesn't line up with how he really sees you. Can I give you an example of how he really sees you? Bring me my grandson. He's asleep, I know, just hold him. You see how the dad looks? That's how he really sees you. He sees you better than you see you. I mean, it's been 7 months now, basically. Girl, he's kept you up a lot of nights. It wasn't until this week till he started sleeping 10 hours and 8 hours. It was like 3 hours for 7 months. And the fact that you weren't getting much sleep, were you just about to turn him back in and say, you know what? It was a good run, son, and we gave it a hard, we gave it a long. Me and Christine told him not too long ago, said, we've made a decision. We're going to let y'all have them on the weekends. Of course, that didn't pan out. He's learning to go to a bottle now, and he's making a lot of messes. Have you reached the point where you're just about tired of the messes, and you've given him his ultimatum, one more mess, son, and that's it? See, we don't see ourselves the way he sees us. And the enemy capitalizes on that. You just cut yourself a break this morning and realize his word describes him as full of mercy. Isaiah saw himself a mess. And within a couple of sentences, he says, I'll go, I'll go, I'll go. Will you just let the angel come to you with a coal right now and clean you up? Burn off all the junk. Let's just be real. There's junk. It's easier for junk to get on us than not, right? I drove 500 miles yesterday to get home. We went to a kids' camp this week with Walker. So I'm trying to find kids, camps that are worth kids going to. So I put my child through it, and I went through it, and I found a, can I say dang good one here? It's the South. I found a dang good one. Can you edit that? Really good one.
Where is it? Where is it?
It's in Hamilton, Ohio. 500 miles, though. And it's probably, you don't probably have to drive 500 miles, but we found a good one for 500 miles from now. I got a little private conversation. 500 miles, and I'm tired. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit moved on about 500 children. I'm telling you, it was so powerful. It was so crazy good. But at the end of that, about 150, 200 miles into it, I had just loaded down on some carbs. This place called Jack's, and they had these apple pies and cherry pies with cream cheese in them. They're fried. And it's like they just dropped right down on a cloud from heaven. How could I say no to the blessing of the Lord? And I looked down and I ate mine, but everybody else is asleep and there's half of one laying there. So the Lord led my hand. Spirit, lead me. So I'm loaded down with carbs, and a few minutes later I'm getting tired and somebody gets on my bumper. And I start thinking, if it's possible for us to pull over to Walmart parking lot so I could turn my hat around backwards. Even though I know that wasn't going to go there. I'm just saying this. We're still flesh. I'm still going to preach on Sunday. I just left the presence of the Lord in a powerful way. It's so easy for your flesh to come back on you. Don't act like it ain't. I mean, it's going to be real, right? I didn't point the direction for that guy to go here or there or anywhere else. But it did kind of bother me. I'm just telling you, something happened that bothered me. And they cut the car off in front of us and almost caused a wreck. And a family in front of us, a family right here. And I'm like, good night. See, because if it's just the John that they're coming against, I don't even care. But when the family's there, one eyebrow goes up and I start looking sideways, and my kids tell me, Dad, your eyes can glaze over. Something happens to you. I'm like, what? His mercy is new every day. It has to be, because I might have used yesterday's up sometimes. You might have used yesterday's up. We serve a good God. Can you just tell him right now before we leave? We'll give you an opportunity to worship with your giving, then we're going to close with that. But can you just love on him right now? God, I love you.